go through the hands, dummy, shimmies, Hong Kong, loose tight, hard to evade, spins, and gets there, Hong Kong are on the board.
Well, hello and welcome to League 852, episode 17. I'm your host, Neville Metcalf, and I'm joined today by regular co-host, Jack Nielsen.
Hello for Albert.
And by local leaguer, Paul
Lafretano. Tell her for lover.
Is that salmon?
Salmon, yeah.
Salmon, oh. Lucky we started with a bit of salmon then.
Yeah. Oh, welcome to Hong Kong.
Thank you.
Also in attendance, we've got my son, Swinton Metcalf. Swinton, who's your favourite rugby league team?
You.
Oh, great.
It's you.
Very good.
My daddy. It's
okay. Paul, just give us some background on your rugby league history.
Yeah, I started playing rugby league from the age of 4 years old. Pretty much played all my life, right up until my early 30s. Didn't really play to any great heights apart from senior rugby, rugby league. And more recently, I've been involved in administration side of rugby league. In the administration side. Down in Nelson in New Zealand.
Oh, beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, it
sunny
is.
Sunny Nelson.
So I was involved heavily down there and growing the game down there. And I left it in good stead down there. So it's going great guns down there. And also a bit of refereeing in the last few years. I've been doing some.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to getting you involved here on the refereeing side of things. You ready for the Nines, which is going to be on the 9th, sorry, it's not, on the 4th of May at King's Park.
Yep.
Lead referee.
Well, I don't know if it's lead referee, but... I'll certainly give it a crack. I'm working on my fitness, so I'm keen and excited to get involved in.
I mean, Jack, I mean, you've been here, I think you've competed in every Nines we've had.
Pretty much.
This will be our fifth.
Yes.
And obviously a lot of hard work goes into the Nines and the organising it, but we can't do it without referees. So, Paul, I'm very grateful that you've stepped up. What are we expecting this year, Jack, from the teams?
Well, hopefully we're expecting some teams, because... I think we're in a position at the moment where we're waiting to confirm a few of them. Hopefully we'll see, obviously Pacific Tour will come back. Caught up with Hogan last week actually, and things are looking good with them. Here we've got a PNG team, another possible PNG team coming.
We should have a team from PNG, we still need to pay. So, you know, attendance is not confirmed until we've paid. But hopefully we'll have another team. I think we've got a good relationship going on down with the PNG folks. There's a few teams we're in touch with. They just love their league.
You ever played against any Papua New Guinean players, Paul?
Yeah, funny enough, down in Nelson in the early days, some of the Papua New Guinean boys came to Nelson and worked in the orchards.
Oh, wow.
And so they joined a few of the league teams down there. Typical Papua New Guineans, very, very tough, nuggety, small, fit, lean, you know, players, very skillful, yeah.
Well, we look forward to welcoming another team from PNG. Obviously, for the last 2 years in a row, we've had the Diamond Chiefs, who have, you know, become a crowd favourite. So again, we're going to have about 8 teams. Wan Chai will be playing, hopefully, again. And then we're going to work on the others. Charlie Bears, Jack.
Charlie Bears should be back again for another go.
Yeah.
Dean and the boys.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll have 8 teams. Now, today we've got but there's a big rugby league game. The season's kicking off. The Super League in the UK has already started. Middle of March, we've got the NRL kicking off.
Sounds very exciting. It's only rugby league, mate. Huh?
And just the other day, we had the Indigenous versus the Maori game.
Did you watch that game?
Yeah, I did. Watch the game. Yeah. Amazing game considering first game of the season. Mm. You'd expect to see a bit of rust and a bit of, you know, bit of fatigue, but man, it was just full on league from, you know, I couldn't remember any drop ball. Wow. Outstanding tries. The New Zealand Māori, I think, went in there looking to out-muscle the Indigenous side up front and use the power game.
Yes.
But the Indigenous, I think Laurie Daly, the coach, saw that coming and they basically shifted it wide every time. And Latrell Mitchell and Ed O'Carr out wide, you know, shut the gate.
He's just not going to catch the fox either. He's just rapid.
Yes.
It is great the season has now started because it kind of gets... Hopefully we can now start talking about rugby league and not the off-field distractions we've been hearing about for the last few months.
Plenty of dramas up there off the field, that's for sure.
So tonight we've got the World Cup Challenge. We've got Wigan versus the Roosters. I just can't see the Roosters losing.
You want to watch?
Yeah, I don't know, because I think Latrell Mitchell for the Roosters, he didn't go on the team. He opted to play for the Indigenous side. So he's a huge asset to the Roosters out wide, you know. He's massive to that team in the back line. He creates space. He's so strong for a young boy. And I think without him being there, I think that kind of might even it up a bit. I haven't really seen Wigan too much, but I'm just hoping it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, I think we all want a close game. I just think, as an Englishman, I don't like to say it, but I just think the level of the NRL is far above Super League. And when you see that gulf, there is a gulf within the two comps. I think at an international level, England, the gap is narrow. But in terms of the comp, so far advanced. So to have the champions coming over, I do think that it's going to be tough. And Wigan are a new team, more or less.
Yeah, I remember Sam Tonkins talking about when he came to the Warriors about the difference in the NRL and Super League. One of the things he said was, with the Super League, you'd play a hard, you could look at the calendar and you could see, okay, we've got these seven teams are going to be tough, and then there might be three or four that'll be easy. Where the NRL, basically, every week, every game, you've got to be up. So I think that's probably the difference. There's no real weak teams in the NRL. But I think for skill-wise, and I think the Super League's definitely up there.
Yeah. Well, you say there's no weak teams. I mean, traditionally, if you look back the last few years anyway, at least, I mean, the Knights have been terrible except for last season.
Yeah.
Gold Coast, Titans. There is some easy games. I think if you're looking at a fixture list, you'd be looking at Titans, wouldn't you? That's 2 points there, surely.
Possibly. It's obviously when teams are weak, they need to rebuild and recruit players, and then they come back up again. Ebbs and flows, right? Ebbs and flows.
This is it. Okay, well, we don't want to talk about the NRL too much.
I was going to say, we've got a bit of an expert now, which might bring a little, I guess, there's sort of shades of the ghost of Jack Muir to bring a bit more NRL and then Kiwi Rugby League into the podcast, so it's probably a good thing.
Well, it's good to have another Kiwi here to replace Jack.
Too many Kiwis. There you go. I've been sacked already. Oh, okay. Have fun, right? I'll see you later.
But someone who's going to talk about the NRL a bit more, obviously, than me and you, Jack.
Yeah.
But look, we've got our Super League starting on the 25th of May, an earlier start this season to try and cop a little bit of better weather.
Sure.
I think almost every game last season except the final, it just was torrential rain.
Yeah, definitely wet.
There's nothing much we can do about that. But let's start a bit earlier. Hopefully have dry conditions and we can see some good games. We're expecting Toa again to be involved. Wanchai merging with the Broncos.
Yes.
Try and make them a stronger team. And then we should have a university team, which has been put together by Comey, working with Matt Jones.
Yep.
So I think Matt will take a lot of the Oriana Storm players over there. So it's looking like a three-team comp, which on the face of it sounds like a backward step. Traditionally, last year we had four teams.
Mm.
It was a bit of a stretch, I think, and we suffered in terms of quality. So hopefully three teams with bigger pools to choose from.
Well, it's almost like a tri-nation sort of situation. If you think back to Super League, when it used to be the Kiwis and the Maroons and New South Wales. Yeah. I remember going to watch that game at Ericsson Stadium when I think the Queensland came over, and it was three teams. Yeah. So you can still make it work.
Yeah.
It's always got to be about quality, not quantity, and I think some administrations or some codes get too caught up in expanding too fast, and then look at the Super Rugby, that means the 15 to 18, then back down to 15, because, you've got to do your homework, and you need to, I think if it's going to be three teams that are competitive, then that's great, and you can see where it goes from there.
It's also got to be safe, right? So we've got a lot of people who want to play the game, but, if you've got a couple of young chaps who are new to the game, coming up against some seasoned players, we just get smashed and then we don't want to come back again.
Mm.
So let's keep it safe, let's keep it competitive. And then it makes it more interesting for everyone, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely wanting to continue that momentum we had with Women's Rugby League last year and making sure that we have, again, fixtures where they're playing and being involved, and that can even top up a few of the other weekends when we're playing between competitions. So.
Yeah, well, I think we were very proud last year that we were the first Asian nation to have Women's Rugby League.
Mm.
So definitely we need to continue with it and and make sure. It's going to be difficult if you're going away. So,
well, like I said, in place here we have Seth Ware is way more experienced anyway. But rugby league in Nelson, bro, when you were there, mm-hmm. woman, was there a competition? Were they sort of running?
Yeah, there was a very small competition. Yeah, there was. I think again three teams of women, some of the rugby girls.
And 13, right? Like,
Yeah,
nines.
The girls actually loved rugby league. The girls that came from the union, union, they loved the league. Yeah, and they even went away and represented Nelson, if I remember, in a couple of South Island tournaments. So
awesome.
Yeah. So there you go, rugby league continuing into 2019. The tag season starts up in March, which has been a good filter into rugby league for a lot of people, good introduction. Mm. And this year, we're slightly changing the format. We're going to have a speed tag competition here at the Indian Recreation Club.
Oh, good Lord, might want to give that
one for you, Jack.
That sort of speed. Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, mate. It's Hong Kong, right? Oh, I'm not a bank or anything, but...
No, I tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, not,
tell us more. Tell us more, mate. What's going to happen there? Well, potentially walking.
Yeah, the pitch size is obviously smaller here at the Indian Recreation Club, and therefore we can't have as many players. So if we take it down to 5 people with a few subs, I think, you know, we still get people playing. Mm. We've got a decent venue, there's good showers, good facilities, Causeway Bay, so easy to get to, easy to get away from when you need to go home, etc. Yeah. So I think it ticks a lot of boxes, and, you know, to have a mini comp at the beginning of the season is what a lot of people have been asking for. I'm optimistic about this, and if it's a success, then we can continue into the summer, and, you know, in hopefully this, you know, the club could become a home for tag, because it would be fantastic to have an actual home for tag and for rugby league training as well.
Sure.
So we're looking forward to that, particularly as James Elliott has got his eyes on sending a over 40s team to the Tag World Cup in Ireland in 2021, and he's already wanting to build it now. He put the call out 2 weeks ago. We're just being interrupted by my son, who's asking about Peppa Pig.
Let's have a look. I'll go fix it.
Paul, are you here?
Uncle Jack will fix it.
Heard of Peppa Pig, but I can't say no.
We were just in the UK over Christmas, and we got to see a live show of Peppa Pig.
Oh, yes.
In London. It was pretty good.
I have peppered a few pigs in my time, you know. beautiful, you know.
I want to listen to the park.
So, Paul, what actually brought you to Hong Kong, mate?
Well, actually, this time last year, I was in hospital for 6 weeks. I got a very bad infection on my leg, a strip infection, and almost lost my leg. Basically, through that experience, maybe my wife and I just think about life, and, you know, life's too short, and you never know what's around the corner. And, you know, we used to live in South Korea, and a few years ago, we always wanted to go away somewhere again and teach and experience another culture. So after that experience with my leg, we decided, like, yeah, life's too short, let's go to Hong Kong. So my wife applied for a job, and we arrived over here in September last year. And I'm a drummer, I'm a professional drummer, so I teach in a music school, and I play in a couple of bands in Hong Kong here. My wife's a teacher at an international school, and we have our young son, Elia. He's 6 years old, and he's a mad leaguey too. He plays league back home in New Zealand, and when we were there, and he's keen to get involved over here as well.
Here we go, playing tack?
Yeah, absolutely. Anything with an oval ball, he'll be there.
That's a great story, right? I mean, I always find it fascinating. There's always a lot of interesting stories of why people are here.
Yeah.
Which school are you at?
I work for the Living Room Music School in Sai Kung. And I also teach privately at home in my apartment. I've got an electric drum kit there, and I get students come here as well.
Earlier today, James, we were just talking off the cuff, and then we started talking about rugby league books, and it transpires we're all bookworms. Mm. What's your favourite leaky book, Jack?
I read Steve Price's book back in the day, just because they had pictures. I can't really read, but he had some good pictures. And it looked good in a Warriors jersey, so and a Bulldogs jersey.
Surely everyone looks good in a Warriors jersey if you're a Warriors fan.
Well, they look good, although our seasons of late, mate. Didn't we just make the playoffs for the first time in a few years?
Yeah, this is our year, mate. Don't worry about that.
Okay. Every year's a bloody Warriors year. If you look at that roster and you think, oh, you should do well.
Yeah. What can I say? You know, 25 years of heartache. Yeah, rugby league books. I'm a bit of a collector of rugby league books.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got quite a few at home.
Have you got a top three? Could you give us a
top three top books? Three? Matthew Ridge's book would definitely be one of them. Ruben Wickie's book, and probably Stacey Jones's book is another good one. I've got quite a few books here. I actually love collecting. Whenever I go into an old bookstore back home in New Zealand, a second-hand book or a Salvation Army store, I always go straight to the books and try and find anything to do with rugby league, and you never know what you come across.
This is true. It reminds me of a time where I was in Waterstones back home, and there was a book in the bargain bin for £1, and it was Terry Newton's autobiography.
Okay.
And he had a brief spell at Bradford Bulls, even more famous for playing for Leeds and Wigan. But, you know, played for England, played for Great Britain, and, you know, was a bit of an enforcer, tough character in the game.
Sure.
But it was quite poignant, because up until reading his book, I didn't really particularly like the fella. I always thought he was a bit of a grub. But unfortunately, he committed suicide shortly after he finished the book. So once you've read the book, you start to understand a bit more about, you know, his life. And, a lot more respect for him, not just as a player, but as a person. It just reminds us that there's a lot of things we've got to think about before we judge people.
Sure.
In terms of the top three, well, Jack Muir lost quite a few of my rugby league books. I lent them to him. Instead of giving to me in person, he was doing one of his random acts of where we never knew where he was. Oh, I've left him in a hotel, mate. All right, well, thanks. the Terry Newton one's up there, and then I've read a few of the history ones, so it goes on about the beginnings of the game. There's a university professor from Leeds called Tony Collins. He's got quite a few books out, so I've read a few of his, which, you know, they're not a quick read. But, you know,
as long as War and Peace, but
they're up there, mate. So, you know, they're quite academic, but not quite as flowing as some of the autobiographies out there. But there's a good book you should read, and it's about the 10 best rugby league test matches of all time, or games. Top 10 games. Very good. I think it's by an Aussie author, and I actually remember the name of the bloody book, but I bought it last time I was in Australia for the last World Cup, and read it within like a day. It's just straight through, great read. So that's rugby league books. Now we've just finished Chinese New Year. You can probably hear the Chinese in the background.
What's that about football? We're actually we're here at the Indian Recreational Club, and we're next to Hong Kong Stadium, which is supposed to be a football game. So it's a good time.
I don't know who's playing.
Oh, the beautiful game, they call it, right?
Yeah, the beautiful game. It's always interesting because you've got that. What's the capacity of Hong Kong Stadium? About 32,000?
Something like that, yeah.
And I think, you know, the beautiful game attracts about 32 people.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Right? You know, it's not that well supported, but they get to play in this Hong Kong Stadium.
There's more football played there than rugby league.
That's true. So for rugby union, is it only the sevens that is played there?
They've had the odd 15s game. I think the British Irish Lions were here a few years back.
Yeah.
I played a 15s game on there a few years ago as well, which is quite fun. So, but no, mainly sevens.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, it's Chinese New Year's, the year of the pig. Paul, how was your first Chinese New Year in Hong Kong?
Yeah, it was an enjoyable experience, I suppose. Just sort of stayed around home, hung around Park Island where I live on Ma Wan Island, and enjoyed it there. And we had a bit of a traditional festival on with some dragons, and didn't really get too much involved in the actual cultural side of it, being my first one. But who knows down the track. Interesting.
It's peaceful and it's quiet. It's a good time to be in Hong Kong. Sure. Jack, I mean, you're an expert by now.
I'm an expert at eating Chinese food and Chinese New Year. I'm usually stuck eating food and watching the young fella. But Mahjong's pretty popular here. It's a traditional Chinese game. And obviously the lycee or packets which are given out and also received. Having kids, you definitely want to get a few of those. So yeah. But I mean, Neville, what did you guys get up to?
About 5 feet away, I've got my wife, and I'm trying to persuade her to come and talk about what it's like to be married to a rugby league fan. And she's basically just telling us to fuck off. Sorry, she's telling us to go away. Chinese New Year is a fantastic time of year. I like it because Hong Kong is quiet. It's so easy to get around everywhere. You know, it's peaceful. I'm married to a Hong Kong girl, so we're, obviously, you know, the cultural side of it is good. As you say, Jack, lots of food, mahjong, which I still don't know how to play. But, you know, it's just a good time, right? I mean, it's like Christmas.
Oh, it's the second Christmas New Year.
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it. And I do feel very privileged that I get to celebrate both. Well, that brings us almost, I think, to the end. Just a reminder, guys, the Hong Kong Rugby League Nines in its fifth instalment will be here, King's Park, 4th of May. The Rugby League third year of our domestic league starts on the 25th of May, and the tag season starts in a couple of weeks right here at the Indian Club, where we'll be playing speed tag. So hopefully you can join us for that in whatever capacity you can. Until next time, goodbye.
Thanks, guys. Go find us what you thought.